Welcome to Season 3 of I Know, Do You? This season's hosts are Bradford and Brian Manning, who you may also know as the Two Blind Brothers. Bradford and Brian are known for their relentless advocacy and charitable work in the IRD community. This includes their clothing company, Two Blind Brothers, which donates 100% of all profits to support medical research efforts. Join the brothers as they explore genetic testing for inherited retinal diseases through both story and science. Spark Therapeutics is proud to sponsor I Know, Do You? And happy to welcome Bradford and Brian to the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 1. How you feeling, Brother Brad?
I am doing fantastic. I think it's only my second time interviewing anybody, but I am very excited to be with you, Brian, and to be embarking on this new adventure. I would like to welcome both Steve and Casey to the podcast. Hey guys, how's it going?
Awesome.
Hi, how are you?
So I'd love us to get kicked off with something really simple. Can you guys just introduce yourselves to our audience? First and foremost, Casey, how did you two meet?
Okay, well, Steve and I met in high school, my freshman year, his junior year. I mistakenly got put into the junior ROTC class, which is the Marine Corps junior ROTC class.
Did you just read the title of the activity wrong? How did that happen?
Yeah, I was put into it in eighth grade, and the colonel who taught it in ninth grade thought it would be a funny joke to make me come one more year.
Oh, man. So your ROTC, you're graduating high school, and Steve, you went to become a Marine from there, right?
Yeah, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do in college, but I knew I wanted to be productive, and I had a really good friend who's a pilot in the Marine Corps right now, and we were, you know, each other's recruiters pretty much, and we signed up really young, our junior year, as soon as we were able to, and I graduated on a Thursday evening and left for boot camp on a Sunday afternoon. I was just really excited to join. Besides Casey, it was like one of the best decisions I'd ever made.
You want to maybe tell the story of when you started noticing that something was up with your eyesight?
It happened so quick. Like I said, from the time of driving to being in high school, really not having a lot of issues at all in the evening. I get into the Marine Corps and I'm stationed on the West Coast, so I'm at Camp Pendleton. And just progressively as the months are going by and we're training, particularly at night, of course, is the first sign for those of people that are familiar with RP, my reaction time just fell off a cliff, just a lot slower. We had these packs and they had all these like clasps and buttons, which maybe are not so tactical, but that's what we had. And I can hear them jiggle. And I would use the jiggling and the clicking of the pack in front of me to kind of sonar where I am. And it didn't really click that I'm having some serious vision problems. And it was just an optometrist, a really skilled optometrist that found it and was able to ask me the questions and not kind of skip through an appointment like sometimes happens.
Yep.
And he said, hey, you're having trouble seeing at night. And he dilated them further. And he says, I can't actually give you this diagnosis, but I think you have this thing called retinitis pigmentosa. And he tells me they're right in the chair very nicely, that it's pretty serious. It was a bit of a shock because he really gives the number. He said 40. I vividly remember it. He's like, you know, you could lose your vision around 40. And at the time I'm 18. And so he wasn't rude about it, but it was just hit me so fast. I was just like, what? Like a little bit confused. Like, I don't understand what you're saying. And I know I can't see good at night, but how serious is this? And you just kind of have to sit with it. Like I literally was in a camouflage uniform with my boots. And then I go back to the office to do work.
Wow.
And I wasn't in denial, but it takes time for it to sink in. And it actually took several years. So I was able to finish my basic 4-year enlistment, but I wasn't able to deploy to the Middle East with all my other buddies. I explained it to Casey as we started to date a little bit more seriously, that, hey, I just went to the eye doctor. I got this thing. They say it's pretty serious that I could lose my eyesight and be blind. Like, it's hard saying those words. It doesn't make sense when it comes out of your mouth. Without hesitation, she said, okay, well, we'll just figure it out. It's not a big deal. Wow. And we'll go from there. And that's really the mantra and the mindset that we've both been able to take all these years. And I owe most of it, all of it, to her.
One of the biggest things that we try and convey to everyone when we get to talk is, it sounds really funny, but we don't actually look at his condition as something to be sad about. we have met so many people in our lives because of his vision. Like some of our closest friends are because of his blindness. We live our life and it's so rich and it's so full and so much happiness comes from it without the blindness being this shadow over us. I don't think we look at it as the thing that defines us.
So to go back to the kind of diagnosis time, and sure. you caught it, seems like fairly early because you had somebody above you who cared to say you should go get checked. And then an optometrist who was good at their job and very diligent to actually check you out. Was there
yes.
any sense of relief to say, okay, there is something wrong and it is, I'm just not going crazy. Like I'm just not being able to see badly at night, or did that kind of never show up?
You're right. I would call it a little bit of relief because, you know, you're trying to figure out, it was such a jarring experience between the day and the night. I was pretty good in the daytime. And then the night, I would totally change into a different Marine. To put a medical reason, it did help kind of satisfy some questions in my mind that were just, you're trying to grapple with. But then the next step is like, well, what am I going to do now? But this is where Casey and my friend kind of pop into the equation. I had always wanted to do an Ironman triathlon. In the Marine Corps, I was a very weak swimmer. I was really afraid of the swim portion. But then the friend that I previously mentioned, who's currently a pilot in the Marine Corps now, he got stationed in San Diego. So he's a 2-hour drive from us. And Casey said, now that Joe is close by, why don't you guys start training for an Ironman together? And I kind of looked at her sideways, probably not that friendly. And I'm like, that's stupid. That's the stupidest thing I've ever... That whole vision and that whole goal, that's gone. Like we missed the boat on that. And good old Google pops up again. And she just Googled like blind people triathlon. Skipping to the end, I ended up doing the Ironman triathlon. I thought it was going to take me 10 years to figure out how to campaign to get to Kona, the famous one that's on TV in Hawaii. And I did it in 3 years. I just stumbled my way into serendipity. And yeah, we got to Kona and we're covered by NBC as one of the featured athletes. And then being in Hawaii, I couldn't see that well, but for some reason that didn't take it away from what I envisioned and what I thought the experience was going to be like. It was just amazing.
I don't know if you get more benefit out of the physical shape you have to be in to actually get through one of those, or the kind of the mental breakthroughs you must have during an experience like that.
Yeah, I mean, it really helps reset and recalibrate. Obviously, your physical strength is a part of it, but I really think it's your mental and emotional strength. I had a little bet with myself that I didn't share with anybody else that I'll put all my anger and frustration and anxiety and everything that I just was eating me up inside about losing my eyesight. I just focused all that energy into something positive. Slowly over time, all that anger, all that depression, all that frustration, it just started to melt away.
You met someone who was fairly informative, I believe, to kind of continue you on in your, you know, retinitis pigmentosa journey. Can you talk a little about that?
Well, I was fortunate to get a great foundation to get me a very high-speed tandem racing bike. So I had this old tandem bike that was super sentimental, and I wanted to see it go to another blind athlete that was just starting out. Yeah, and so she found another blind athlete that was looking to get into his journey. And so we messaged him. Long story short, we send him the bike. He got it, and then we just started chatting over the phone, and he tells me, hey, have you got your genetic testing done yet? I'm like, what? No, I haven't. What is it? And so I had heard about genetic testing like in the news and in pop culture and stuff, of course. But then he's like, no, you got to get tested because you have to know exactly what type of RP that you have. And then that way, when there's medical trials and treatments, you know if it's applicable to you. I called up the VA and did the testing, and it was super easy. Just drew a little bit of blood, and the genetic counselor sat with Casey and I and went over everything. But yeah, that's basically how we found out about it, from another blind athlete saying, hey, you need to get this done. It's going to help you. Just trust me. And we did.
But it sounds like the decision to get genetically tested was actually like really straightforward, almost like, oh, this is offered. Sure, I'll do it. Was the process that sort of straightforward, or was it something that you needed to get like educated on, or were you like, oh, they're recommending it, I'll just go do it?
Yeah, it was that. It was basically that simple. But if I could just back up just a smidge, it's like I heard about it in the news. you'd hear about a celebrity getting it done because they had a familial disease that they wanted to track and you know, keep an eye on. So I have sisters. And then also I have a daughter. And so knowing that RP, how it tracks through the, you know, whether you have the recessive gene or whatever variation that you have, we were doing it to tell my sisters who are about to have kids, you know, maybe you should get tested. So we did it just as much for my family as we, as much as we did it for myself.
Can I tell you kind of an unbelievable story?
Please.
So my wife and I are actually currently pregnant with our first child.
Oh,
we're very excited. You know, we find out that there's this kind of 282 genetic test that you can do to understand the highest risk things for pregnancy and for infants. And we're going to get it. And Court goes, oh, you know what? We should toss in the Stargardt's test as a just in case. She has perfect vision. She actually is better than 20/20. It's really frustrating when she'll like see a street sign from 9 blocks away. It's like a superpower. But, and then we're at work and she calls me and she goes, you are never going to believe it. I'm a recessive carrier for Stargardt's disease. Nowhere in her family, no one had any eye problems whatsoever. And we just tossed it in as a, oh, we should just cover all our bases here. And it was a big informative thing for us when it came to having kids, because now there's a 50% chance that our kids will have Stargardt's if we have natural births. And it was really one of those eye-opening moments for us and our family to say, hey, we did this not just because we thought it was on a whim and there was a 0% chance, but sometimes that one in a million can happen. And the genetic test was no extra effort and really was hyper informative for our family and what we were planning for the future.
That's insane. Yeah.
Much like you guys are in this stage of your lives, that's where it was for my sisters. And, you know, we wanted to be proactive for my daughter because it's not something that it's a doom and gloom in our house, like we've all talked about, and same for you guys. But, you know, when my daughter starts having kids or if she gets to that point, we have all the information at our fingertips. And obviously it's just a foundation, but it's just so powerful to know exactly what you have and what strain and, you know, what's out there for you.
And I want to ask you and Casey, you know, what do you do to stay so positive? How do you guys stay in such good spirits?
Yeah, I just think it's the people that you surround yourself with. So Steve and I are just really lucky. We found each other really early in life. We're lucky to call each other's like best friend. And it's a lot of laughing. And our daughter is just amazing. And we are just always conscious in every moment that we are living our best life. And if it's not our best life, it's instantly identified. And how can we change that?
Great. That's awesome.
I've talked to some veterans from time to time. They don't struggle with vision loss at all. So, you know, I was just trying to relate to them that you just have to keep moving. And I don't mean to be like a proponent of sports and exercise, but, you know, staying active and staying like energized is a big part of your mental and emotional health. At least for me, it is. And so that's what I tell people. And like Casey said, we don't try to take things too seriously. There's my problems and God's problems, and I only try to worry about mine. That's what we do every day.
I think that is a perfect note to close on. And I can't thank you all enough. Really interesting. What a great story. It was really a pleasure, and we can't thank you enough.
Likewise, guys. I really appreciate you inviting us, and it was good to meet you over this digital form. Maybe one day we'll be in person.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, guys, and stay tuned next time.
Thank you for listening to I Know, Do You? A podcast that discusses life with inherited retinal disease and the importance of genetic testing. You can find information about no-cost genetic testing as well as more stories from the inherited retinal disease community at iwanttoknow.com. If you enjoyed I Know, Do You? Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Spark Therapeutics sponsors iwanttoknow.com and the I Know Do You podcast. Bradford and Brian Manning were compensated for their time and services for this podcast. We also want to thank each of our guests for taking the time to share their stories and knowledge.